Welcome to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, as we go on this epic journey of how to own your power and the steps to take that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. This educational, powerful, engaging, and inspiring show will change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Let's shift the paradigm promoting mental and emotional wellness. We do recover. Experience the transformation from addiction to living your best life. Here is the secret: to learn how to master unleashing your full potential every day in every way. Maximum Resilience starts now.
Hey, everybody. Look, welcome. This is not my show, but it's a show I get to do with the most amazing Kelly Bazzani. This is Maximum Resilience. This is The Power of Spirituality Matters. This is the episode we're taking on. Before we dive into this, let's just take a moment, because I think it's important for people. They're going to hear a lot from us today about this, but it's also important for people to know, Kelly, you know, what is it you said yes to your calling in life? How are you, Kelly? You know, what you do, your coaching practice, your speaking, how are you getting in line with helping people? Not with just this, but everything we're talking about. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do to serve people.
Well, I'm a master certified empowerment coach, and we have been expanding our business, but I got into this because I am in recovery myself. And so my main value is integrity. I do not coach anything that I haven't gone through personally in my life. So this has been my life mission and work. And it is so exciting for me that I will now be co-authoring a book with Les Brown, who is the biggest probably motivational speaker in this addiction and like self-empowerment. Yeah. And so I do this work, and this show for me today is really exciting to do with you, because we have talked about spirituality, which can be a very delicate subject. And when I was doing the research on this for this show, I was like, you ask me all the time, Dr. Pat, like, how did you get to be resilient? And I was like, I just did it. And as I did this, I too had my aha moment. I'm like, aha, this is how I did it. So I'm really excited, because we're going to be talking about both Carl Jung today and Don Miguel Ruiz, and kind of bringing in the shows we did to talk about how I got here, how I got in my recovery, and how I maintain my emotional resilience. And so I keep building. Now I get to co-author about it. Now I get to continue the master empowerment coaching, and I get to do it today with you on the show. So I'm just super excited to get there.
Well, I mean, let's really start at the conversation that, you know, I think is so important. And that's a lot of times when people see us, you know, especially when they see us in this venue, you know, we're having a conversation. Both of us are pretty upbeat. I mean, I've had my down days doing the show, but we're pretty upbeat. But we have gone through a number of things in our life. And I will make this statement: I would not be here today without strengthening my spiritual muscle. It would not happen. That's how I lived the first half of my life. And the only thing I was strengthening was my addictions. And so what is it that gets us to look at where we are, you know, how to awaken that part of us? And what does it mean when we have our bodies show up with suffering, our mind show up with suffering, our emotional states show up with suffering? And I guarantee you, if you got that suffering, then there's something not happen in your spiritual realm.
That's right. And so I was trying to think of, like, how do I give that example? And so I am going to give this example, and I'm really excited. And I had to ask my aunt's permission. I'm like, can I use you as an example? And so the way I'm going to give this example is, my aunt and I are on this health journey right now. And I added a certified health coaching to my coaching now too, because why not just add one more thing to my plate of things that I'm doing? And so my aunt and I were challenged on before Halloween to go and show a physical depiction of how much weight loss we've had. And to do that, we had to show in bags of candy how much weight we've lost. And so you'll see here in this picture, we're holding for my aunt 33 pounds of candy in her hands of how much weight she's lost so far. And in my hands, 20 pounds. So total of 53 pounds. So that is a physical show of that weight. And afterwards, and we're joking when we're doing it, we're having this great time. But then we came home and we actually looked at it. And I was like, aunt, you are carrying like that much weight. She's like, I know. And I'm like, And now you wonder why you're not snoring anymore and you're not doing all these things. She's like, I know. And I'm like, oh my God, let's relate that to spirituality, right? That is the emotional weight that we are carrying at all times. That emotional weight of like shame and programming and core beliefs and guilt and judgments and everything. And we don't see it every day. Just like the weight we're carrying, we're not like paying attention to that every day when it's causing like diabetes or snoring or whatever it is until we like look at it. Like we actually look at it in front of us and go, wow, look at what that's causing. Same with addiction, right? Okay, we can stop drinking. We can stop eating fast food. We can put down our cell phone for a minute. We can do that and we can stay clean. We can stay off that cell phone for a while. We can lose that weight for a little bit, but it's only temporary until we really figure out why. Why were we emotionally eating? Why were we addicted to our cell phone? Why? And we can look outside sources. We can do yoga all day long. We can go to weight loss centers. We can go to all these different things. But the real key to this, to obtain that emotional resilience or anything, is we need to go within. And so what we're going to talk about today in our segments, Dr. Pat, which I'm really excited for you to join me in this, is people don't want to do that. And why don't they want to? Why do they not want to look at their own soul? Why do they turn away from that?
I can give you, if I had a penny for every one of the reasons that we could come up with, but let's just cut to the chase for people.
Yeah.
We don't want to look at it. One, it's scary. Two, we've never found a safe space with anyone to look at it with us, right? Without them saying, oh, well, you should have just did that. Or you could have, that's number two. Three, we don't know how, do you think that anybody that's carrying the weight of this would carry it if they knew how not to, Kelly?
No, absolutely not. And the main question that I think every audience member that is listening will relate to with this is, has anybody ever asked themselves, if people really knew me, would they love the real me? I still ask myself that sometimes. And if anybody knows this term, imposter syndrome, right? If anybody really knew the real me, would they love me? If they really knew everything about me, how many masks do we wear every day? We have a work mask. We have a party mask. We have a home mask. And so people get scared. Who do I talk to? Like you said, who would I really tell that to? So we're sitting with ourselves, with our beliefs and our programming, telling ourselves all these things. And how many of those things are lies? And we're making it truth for ourselves in this little box.
You know, my stepmom used to say something to us girls. She used to say a lot of stuff, but I shared a little bit this morning. But she used to say to us, girls, y'all do not have to worry about hell. And we'd be looking at her like, what do you mean? She said, we're living hell right here. So that was my mom, who believed that you are working through your program here in this earth skin, and that you don't have to worry about hell, because this is like, you're going to go through some stuff here, and how you go through them is going to determine whether you live the life you really desire or you don't. What do you think about my mama? She's up there now. So
I love your mama, and she's absolutely right. And so that is what I love to say, right? Because when my clients come to me, I always say emotional pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. And so I always say to my clients, look at the role that you're playing in your own suffering. And so we always tell, this is where it gets really touchy in recovery. And I like to put the emphasis on recovery just specifically for this show. But I'm talking about everybody as well, but please like put the emphasis on recovery for this. Look at the role we're playing in our own suffering, because people will turn away from the program when they hear God, you know, because God is listed. And I want to just be really clear, you know, because people will say, watch what you do on earth, you know, because that will determine whether you go to heaven or hell. We are in heaven and hell right now. Okay. And we live in our dream of hell. We create our own hell right now. And like your mom said, we have the choice to create our heaven or hell, right? Because we're in hell in our minds with our thinking and our beliefs. Like if you've listened to our shows, me and Dr. Pat's up until now. And so we choose to suffer because we've learned to suffer. We've learned it. And so then we create a belief system to support that truth. I've been doing it this past week, and I'm going to talk about it on the show. And so I will be the first one to tell you that even in my recovery, with all my successes, I do it too. So we learn all these things. And so if you choose to take radical responsibility for your life, you can change this for yourself. And I love Don Miguel Ruiz. Please, if you have not read him, right, please read this, The Mastery of Self, because in that he talks about this. And Carl Jung's quote is just so perfect because he says, no tree, it is said, can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell. I found my light in the darkness. That is how I found my light, in the dark. Because without going through these things and seeing like, oh man, you know, I'm angry today. I'm perfect just in my anger, right? What is that anger trying to tell me? Right. And so I had a coaching call this week, right? And I'm like, I am so stressed out. I've got all this content for Dr. Pat, and I've got to write this book chapter by next week, and everybody's putting all these demands on me and da da. And she's just quiet, right? She's just quiet. And she's like, okay. And I was just creating my own hell. How grateful that I have all these things. Okay. So it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. It just is what it is. Right. And I can choose to suffer in that. I can choose to suffer and stress myself out. I had migraines all week, but I'm my own source of security, approval, this and that. I'm not going to find my answers anywhere else. I can do yoga all day long. I can go do all these different things, but it's all still there until I choose to get out of my programming. Because here's the kicker. And I just want to get here. My mom's like, okay, honey, so what? And I'm like, and I got nothing to show for it. And as soon as I said it, I was all, I have nothing to show for it. But that's all my programming. Okay. So in the end, what we're looking for is to find ourselves, to be ourselves, to live our own life instead of the way we were programmed to live. Programmed. Okay, so that's where we get into like knowledge versus wisdom. I can be knowledgeable with Dr. Pat all day long.
Yeah.
But not wise.
Yeah. And you know, part of this too is when we're talking about wisdom, there's a component that never gets talked about. And you know, I've had a million people tell me why. And that is the power of our intuition, that thing we have inside of us, that innate ability, that this knowing. Now, I could probably write something about the difference between wisdom and intuition, but I don't know what I'd write. Here's what we do know. We know that intuitively we are guided. I don't know what sports person I've ever coached or talked with. I play a sport. And I made a comment in a show the other day. I said 60% of what I do is intuitive.
Yes.
And, you know, and yet there's a wisdom that we gather from what fuels our intuition. You see what I mean?
I do.
And so talk about this for a minute, because you see, there's so much of us acknowledging like you did, but there's also so much that we create, and the story, suffering is a story. And if you're really good at storytelling, you're really good at storytelling your suffering, but there's a benefit in it. There's a benefit in it. And let's talk about what happens when the light bulb goes on and you realize, dang, I'm caught in my little suffering story, or I'm caught in my life. I don't like the way I feel, but I don't know what to do, Kelly.
Well, when you get into like you're talking about, when you have that aha moment, right? When you switch from knowledge to wisdom, people use their knowledge for the storytelling, right? Well, I'm knowledgeable about this, and I believe my story about this, and I did it right. They think that they're nailing it, right? But when you switch to wisdom, it's you don't have to believe all those images you created, because it expends so much energy to keep in those images you created about what you feel other people need you and want you to be. It's so exhausting, right? And I'm going to use Linda, right? Linda called me yesterday and she's like, where's your content for Dr. Pat? I'm like, Linda, I have 8 pages and I need to get it to Dr. Pat. She's like, Kelly, you already know this material. You know what happens every time. You write 8 pages and then you guys get on and you just talk about it and this and that, right? And I'm like, no, but Linda, and knowledge, right? So when I switch to the intuition and the wisdom, right? It's not what you need, my image that I think you need me to be, or Linda, right? And so you just switch to that and you have this aha moment. And so Don Miguel describes it in The Mastery of Self as if you're, and I love the way he describes it, Dr. Pat. He described it as you go to a party with 1,000 drunk people and you're the only sober one there. And you're like, oh, right? And you become a skeptic. And he describes it as you don't become a skeptic like you're judging people all of a sudden. You're like, oh, they're still trapped and stuck in their belief system. But he describes it as you're a skeptic in that you don't see the world the same way again because you start to question the story and the programming. You're like, I don't need to believe that old programming anymore. And you become innocent again. And he says, not innocent in the way of a child, because a child can fall back into those beliefs again, but you become innocent in the way that you're like, oh, you just start to wake up, but you do it with compassion for the people that are still drunk because you were drunk once too. And I love the way he describes that because that's how I feel, right? Like once Linda started talking, I was like, oh, right. And we just both started laughing, right? We're like, oh, okay, right? So that wisdom is like, you can't hate the experiences that once shaped you, right? So I don't look back and like kick myself about it or feel shame or guilt about it or get mad that I just spent 14 hours researching this for days and days. I'm like, oh, okay, right? And so then when I see other people in their stories or whatever, I'm just like, I don't judge or I don't do any of that. I might have to set a boundary and separate my energy or do whatever I do. But it's like imagine waking up and all your emotional wounds are gone and you just feel this freedom all of a sudden and you see the world, but you're seeing it from your heart and not your mind anymore.
Yeah.
Your heart is just open to love yourself first and then other people. And it's free from that programming.
Yeah. And I got to say this, though. I could not go from where I was to love. I had to go through the 50 shades of liking first.
Yes.
And, you know, but here's the practical things I want to say about this. And the conversation today, if you've just tuned in, let me tell you what we're talking about. Kelly Bazzani, Maximum Resilience. The power of spirituality matters. We're talking about why it matters, how it matters, who it matters to. And then once you figure that out, how can you use it for your life to matter? See, that's why we're having a conversation. Now, look, you said something earlier. I remember getting sober, moving to the Pacific Northwest. Place is full of spirituality, most spiritual city on the planet or something, I think it was deemed. And I thought, this is good. But I remember my friend saying, you got to come to the spiritual center. And I said, well, are they going to talk about, were they going to talk about God? What I mean, right? And I said, they're going to talk about, I mean, I have evolved from this moment. I want to tell the audience, early sobriety, I evolved from this. I said, okay, well, no, they don't really, well, you're going to say Jesus, right? No, 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 the pastor, walk in the church. My friends, half of them on that side of the thing, the other half of them on this side, not to let me out. And the Reverend Dr. Kathy Ann Lewis decides, we're going to talk about Jesus the man today. See, God is smarter than a fifth grader to put me in that place, to give me an understanding about something I had no reason to dislike. I had nothing to dislike about any of the spiritual masters. What I had to work through is disliking the institution and how I was treated. Kelly, so many people turn the light of spirituality off, not because of spirituality, but because of either a history of what they've learned, what was done to them, or what they believe about institutions. Wouldn't you say that?
I would agree, you know, because if you're truly there, right, like people ask, well, why don't we know it? Well, why hasn't he come to save me? Well, why wasn't he there in my darkest moment? Well, I grew up this way. I mean, I was raised Roman Catholic. And when I went through my addiction, I was like, well, where was he at my darkest moment? I don't want need to go in and chant for, you know, but that's our mind. That's our limitations. As a human, we're taught these are your limitations. And so then we limit our possibilities by our own fears, you know? And so then that's what we believe. And so humans are such powerful magicians. We will spin, like you said, we will spin that story. Well, it didn't work for me back then, so it's not going to work for me here. And if you're going to talk about Jesus or God, okay. Well, when then you believe what you are, then that's what you are. We talked about that on our last one when we were talking about potential. People already believe what they are. And so I completely agree with you on that. And so I love talking about this because it's already within you.
Yeah, but I had to go through my, look, here's what we're talking about. If you are in the suffering place I was, you got a healing that needs to come on.
It is and such a so deep many healing. Healings, Dr. Right? Pat, it is such a deep healing.
Right. It's the right? healing of you. It's like God,
it's
Jesus,
Baha'u'llah. That's it.
They don't need to be healed.
They don't need it. We do. And so we want to put it on, oh, I don't want to be around Jesus, or I don't want to be about universe, or I don't want to be about Buddha. It's not about them. They're already with you. It's going within. It's the individualization of you, individualization in here, right? And so that is where the healing took place for me, because it's not about any imposed idea. It's about finding yourself and expressing yourself in your own particular way. And it's that deep healing. So, you know, we've talked about this before too. Your life is 100% your responsibility. So that belief, you know, your body is a temple, a living temple where God, universe, Buddha lives. Your mind is a temple where God, so the healing that needs to take place, Dr. Pat, I remember, and this is where the fourth step comes in. If you're in recovery, this is where the fourth step comes in. If you're in normal life, I'll tell you how we get there. But when
if you're a normal drinker, it's still where the fourth step comes in.
It's still, I feel like everybody in the world should be doing these recovery steps. And gosh, can you imagine if we all opened our heart up to live, right? But the proof is that we're alive, right? And so you don't have to do anything to reach enlightenment or to awaken or to do any of that. You need to heal your emotional body. And so the whole world can't make you happy. What will make you happy is the love coming out of you. Would you agree, Dr. Pat? Like, it starts here. It's an inside job.
Yeah, it's an inside job. And I want to say to people, we're making it really simple as we talk about it.
We're going to get to what it takes, right? But I'm just setting it up.
It's an inside job.
It is an inside job.
You got to take the first step of being aware. See, and you can apply this in every situation in your life.
Yes.
You know, you can apply it. In an earlier show, I gave an example. I said, now imagine you're a person, you got $18,000 in your bank account. And you got about 4 outstanding bills, but you got this $18,000. You're running your own business. Here you go. But you're not going to pay your bills, right? But you got the $18,000 in because that's your business. You get money, but you're not going to pay them. Why do you think you're not going to pay them? Oh, wait a minute. I don't trust. What am I not trusting in? Oh, am I being wise or frugal? No, not really. You owe 4 people money. You pay the money, but you got $18,000 in your account. Why wouldn't you pay your bills? Because why? There's a belief that you may carry that is not the fault of yours. There is an energy about what you believe or don't believe. Do you think that you got that $18,000 because God is malevolent or benevolent? Do you believe in the flow of the universe? See, that's what you're going to take on today.
Yes.
Because if you don't pay those bills, even if you had $500 in there, if you don't pay your bills, what are you telling God, the universe?
That's right.
What are we telling them?
It's acceptance and surrender, which we're going to get into, right? Acceptance of what is, not what you believe is, what really is, and then surrender to the old programming and everything else like that. So you're not speaking through the filter of your wounds. And we hear that all the time, right? People are speaking through the filter of their wounds as to why. And that's where you get the fixed mindset versus the open mindset. Oh, this is how it really is. And I get to choose whether I want to go this way or stay here. And so that is what I want to speak about when we talk about, like, what are you doing for your soul? And that is where right now we're just setting it up. But like, it is not an easy job. And that is why people turn away from doing this inward work. Well, no, you know, and this is what we'll talk about, Dr. Pat, when we get rolling on this, is you know, people, I say this all the time to my coach. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I did the Dr. Pat show and I did this. And then what are you doing for your soul? Well, yeah. I went and got a massage and I did some meditation this morning. No, what are you doing for your soul? It's different. It's introspection.
Really,
it's getting a good, hard, honest, moral inventory of your motives, your true motives of what you're really doing in your life. And that is what you're here when people say the dark night of the soul. You know, people have got, you got to get in there, open that Pandora box that you don't want to look at and get, where is your shame? Where is your guilt? Where are your judgments? Where are your motives? Where are your selfish motives? Where is your programming that's keeping you stuck? And once I did that, you know, I don't want to post that I have an Intoxalock in my car. I don't want to post on my website that I got arrested. I don't want to do that. Why? Well, because people are going to judge me. And then once I did that, the freedom that came with that so that I could live out loud and live my truth, because I was hiding and suppressing and it was keeping me stuck from my true potential of who I can be. And because of that, look at what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Well, look, we got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Kelly, tell people how do people find out what you're doing? Please, let's give out some information about you, what you're doing, how they can connect with you.
Yes. www.myresiliencecoach.com. And we are doing master empowerment coaching, group coaching packages, speaking engagements. I'm going into the schools and starting with adolescents about this material and mindset. Like I said, I will be co-authoring a book with Les Brown. We are doing all, I just got contacted about nonprofits. So we are just, this work is just so important right now, Dr. Pat. And
yes,
so we are so excited about the expansion of everything that's happening right now.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk to you about how does something like that happen? How do you go from Kelly to Kelly? What is it that could switch that light on that is in the conversation today? What is it that turns that light on where you actually believe that you can be doing and living what you want, and then ask for guidance about how do I do it? When we come back, we're going to talk about what are you doing for your soul and what does that mean? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Kelly Bazan. Hey, everybody, welcome back. You are listening to Maximum Resilience with Kelly Bazani and me, Dr. Pat. I have had the honor of taking this journey with her as she shares the importance of things in life that matter. Today, the power of spiritual matters. Why? Well, you heard a little bit about the why. You've heard a little bit about the what. You've heard a little bit about the journey. But now you're going to hear a little bit about what you can do to fuel the fire of your soul. Your soul is with you. It doesn't go away. But what happens? Does the light get diminished? Do we think it's diminished because somebody else is throwing sand on our fire? Or is there something that Kelly's going to share with you today that's going to enlighten you as to what step you can take now? Right, Kelly?
Yes, absolutely. So Carl Jung, who's one of my favorites when he speaks about this, says you have three births. And he talks about your first is your physical birth. And then you have your development of the ego. And then you have your spiritual consciousness. And I love when he talks about these things, because this is like the bread and the butter of the whole consciousness for me. Some people never reach the spiritual consciousness. And that happens if we're focusing exclusively on ego and its conditioning and the rigid unconscious mental patterns. And that is where I see when I either sponsor people in recovery or I'm coaching people, where people get stuck. I even see it in my personal life with some of my relationships. This happened for me. And I want to kind of share a personal story here, because this is where we also get between the knowledge and the wisdom. The knowledge is the ego and the wisdom is the spiritual consciousness. So what we were talking about is like people will do anything to kind of avoid their souls. And I posted a while ago on my social media that I used to fill my voids with anything but my own self-love, right? So in my addiction, I was filling everything like that. And then now sometimes even when I get so busy and I start to develop like physical maladies, right? In recovery, this is called as the spiritual malady. And it leads to feeling very empty in our souls. I get kind of emotional when I talk about this because it brings me back to that time in my life. In recovery,
it is emotional. Let's take a moment.
It really is. Let's just take a moment.
Let's just take a minute right there. Yeah. Because I want people to get this.
Yeah.
I really want all you all listening to get this. Because Kelly and I will have a tendency to really walk through things without expressing what the emotional side of awakening is for any of us that have come from a deep, shallow place to a glimmer of light, then to discovering that there is more, and then to having the light shine within ourselves. And I'm telling you, you're going to hear about the work that it is, but it is emotional because part of what you're hearing from Kelly and from me, we remember what we were like. We remember, we have relived it in whatever halls of recovery you go to. We understand that part of ourselves. And so it is emotional because while you may have transformed or transmuted, those parts of you are a reminder, right, Kelly?
It is. And, you know, it's like when I did the show with my mom, right? And it's like the two sides of the addiction coin. For me, it's like the two sides of the spiritual malady for me, right? Because I remember this time in my life. And when I see people that are in fear of going through this, but it's keeping them stuck from the potential that I see, sometimes it comes out like, whew, right? Like, ah, you know, because I could see where they are and I see where they could be, or, you know, but for me, when you're in this spiritual malady, or when I was in this spiritual malady, it's referred to as restless, irritable, and discontent. And you feel very alone and lonely. And for a while, and this is why I say resilient, because when you first get clean, they say there's one thing you need to change, and that's everything. And I remember when we talk about these things, right? For everyday society, the people feel insignificant or inadequate or hopeless when they're going through this. And you'll see people turn to, you know, yoga or a strict diet regimen or compulsions, or and it leads to a lot of anxiety or whatever, because they can't figure out what's going on. It's their soul. And so they're not feeling fulfilled, or they can't find a meaning or a purpose in their life, right? They might have children even, or a husband, but they don't feel a meaning or a purpose or fulfilled. And that is a spiritual malady. So I remember for me, and Jung refers to that as small and hidden is the door that leans inward, and the entrance is barred by countless prejudices, mistaken assumptions, and fears. And that's what's so frustrating about this, because it's not, it's in there for you. Anybody can attain this.
Yeah.
So for me, I remember pushing off the four step and pushing off the four step, because I was like, my sponsor, I can't tell her my deepest, darkest. She's going to send me away. I'm going to be institutionalized. She's never going to understand this. And so I remember meeting with her in her Suburban, and I'm in the front seat, and I crawled all the way back into the back of her Suburban, and I hid under a blanket in her back seat because I didn't want to look at her when I told her all of my four step. And let me tell you what the four step is. You write down all your resentments against, and I'm like, I don't have any resentments. Well, when I did it, I had, you know, 4 pages on my mom and 5 pages on my dad and 6 on my sister and 8 on my brother and this and that. And then she said, now what's your part? What do you mean? What's my part? That is what I mean by the programming or the belief. What were my fear of what? Fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of what? all my fears, then the sexual inventory, then this, then this, then this. It is a fearless and moral inventory of my life and my deepest, darkest secrets. I did it with someone who also had done that discipline. I had a support that I was telling it to. So I get done and I'm whispering it and I'm like, she's really quiet up there, whatever. And I get done and she goes, that's it? Get up here. And I crawled up and she goes, oh, honey. She goes, mine was way worse than that. If that's all you got for me.
Oh, yeah.
I was sobbing because somebody finally understood and I felt like somebody under and I, the freedom. And so I just want to say that when I did that, then I was free to then be like, what do I value? I never knew what I valued because I was so trapped and stuck in those fears. So when I see that, how people avoid their souls because they're in such an act and facade of, I can't tell someone that they'll judge me. I can't see someone act. It just is so right because it's ego. That's all it is. It's just ego. So you don't have to do anything but heal that emotional body. And after that, it was very lonely because after that, you can't unknow what you know. And so I couldn't then go against anything. Once I turned that over, there was no way I was putting that back in my emotional body. That's and right. So I wasn't going to be around anybody that conflicted with that part of my soul. So it was lonely. I then wasn't around that type of environment. I then wasn't around those types of people. Still to this day, I will not do that. It's called Six Secrets in Recovery.
Yeah. And one of the things too, Kelly, we should also talk about is the fact that you don't do this once. And I want to say is what
that's
this
right,
does,
Dr. Kat.
It opens up the wisdom of your soul to really bring forth all those things that are weighing you down. See, that's what it is.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter, you know, where you come from, where you're going through, you know, it is a place, whether you are addicted or you're an alcoholic, it doesn't matter. If you are in this place where you are carrying the burden with you, there's more work to do. Look, I walked into Port Townsend with three of my friends. We get to get a reading up there. Port Townsend, beautiful place up there. If you ever come here, it's a beautiful place. Highly spiritual, like right out on the right out there. Walk in, all my friends go first. I walk in, the woman sitting at the desk, at the table says, don't come in this room. And I'm like, I'm looking, is she like talking to me? And she said, you have got three caskets that are chained to you that you're carrying with you. And I walked in the room and I mean, I'm just like, she said, you know who they are. And I'm just bawling.
Yes.
Because see, I had thought I had done the work. See, I thought I did all the work. And the three caskets were so clear. They represented people I needed to do more work on, people that I believe I harmed. My yes. sister, my stepmom, and Linda. And for me, I don't even remember what that woman said to me. But she said, we have, I mean, what a visual, Kelly,
yes.
right?
Oh,
three metal caskets,
so
she said.
So powerful.
Whoa.
And every time I think, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, if you think you're awoke, you're still asleep. And the reason I love that, Dr. Pat, is I'm always, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to nail this podcast because, you know, I read, you know, Carl Jung's Modern Man, I'm like, oh, there's still so much more work to do. Mm-hmm. Because I get into this all the time. I'll call my sponsor.
We're never done.
Ever.
Can you make this point again?
Can
we stop and make this point for a minute? Let's just stop for a minute and make the point. We may be sharing some insight with all of you listening to this as if we're done. We're not done.
Ever.
I'm not even sure where I am in the evolution of self.
Right? Yes.
But I will tell you, I know when I am not in my spiritual mojo. I know it. So look, we are on the escalator upward to the divinity that we call ourselves.
That's
our own self-exploration.
That's it. That is it. And I know it. I know when I'm on, you know, and Miles called my sponsor and she just giggles because she's like, okay, you wait. Cause I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. And I'll call it. And I'm like, I got a little bit better. I didn't wait until I'm completely at my spiritual malady. And she'll just giggle. She's like, okay. Right. Cause I know when I'm off, you know, cause I'll feel it.
Oh my God. Jessica and Linda will call me out on it.
You got the best over there. Yeah. But
because look, you have to catch it when you catch it. Isn't that what we're talking about? Is helping people learn
awareness,
how to catch it before it catches you.
Awareness, acceptance, surrender, turn it over. And my sponsor used to say, you're playing hot potato with your higher power. I'd give it to my spiritual, take it back. Please take it from me. I'm so overwhelmed. Well, give me a little bit back because I need to send that to Dr. Pat. No, get right. Give it over. Right. And so when we do that and we're coming from wisdom and not knowledge, heart, open your heart and not close-minded. Right. What that does is it turns what we feel is impossible. Oh, no, I'd never do that. Oh, no, I'd never talk about that. Oh, no, that person would never understand. Those nevers, no, shouldn't. It turns the impossible to possible. And it turns that suffering to freedom. And so, and that apparent road of like unconsciousness, like we're just unconscious. And so what I love about that is you take the cooperation then of the unconscious where you're like, oh, all that programming. Yeah. All that programming of,
yeah, know, we got to get there. You're going to take us through the archetypes because we got to help people get there. We got to get there now.
Let's get there because you take all that programming of the unconscious, right? That you've been doing for years and years and years and years and years. And then you have that aha moment where you're like, oh, I don't even need that anymore. Right. And then it comes into this beautiful transcendence of like, oh, right? And you're like, whoa, that's your fourth step, right? Or for what we call normies, right? That's your just like, oh, okay. Nobody ever died from swallowing their pride. That's what I would say for like normal people. Oh, okay. And so that's that fearless moral inventory. So I want to go into the archetypes because this is where people can really go, whoa. Okay. And so this is Carl Jung. So you become conscious of more than your unconscious motivations, fears, longings. I really want to write that book, but I'm just going to sit on the couch and do nothing about that and just be fearful about it. And then blame my mom, for being mean to me when I was 5 and now I'm 65 and I hear it all the time. Right. Okay. So we can choose our actions rather than responding automatically from patterns that are not serving us. Okay. So here's the archetypes, Dr. Pat. I'm so excited about this. So excited. 4 archetypes to help you through. Okay. The first is your shadow. You've heard of shadow work, maybe. People have heard of shadow work. I want to do shadow work. Okay. So the shadow is the personality qualities we have that we suppress, we ignore. Okay. But they don't go away. We can suppress. Here's it is. I get so excited. I'm skipping words. Here's it is. Okay. What we resist will persist. What we fear will appear. Okay. So what I say is I've taken my 8 spinal surgeries, which I used to be like, right. Or all the things. And now I put my arm around it and I embrace it as part of what I am. It has made me resilient. Instead of being like, I was paralyzed and poor me, right? A broken heart equals poor me. I don't care if it's a broken heart over a relationship, over someone hurting my feelings, over being paralyzed, that equals poor me, victim. Instead of being like, I had 8 spinal surgeries. It made me tenacious. It made me courageous. It made me this. How can I use that to inspire others? Resilience. Okay. So the shadow is personal qualities we deny, suppress, or ignore. They do not go away. And those are unconscious things that others did not approve of. Okay. So if Dr. Pat, you're like, I really didn't like your hair the other day. So for the show, right? Instead of me going, thank you for your feedback. And then getting my hair done the same way because I like the way I feel. Right? then I go and I'm like,
yeah. Right? And you know, the way that I respond to that is based on this second archetype, because I can respond like a pit bull, right?
Right. Exactly. So that leads us into the second archetype, which is the persona. This one I see, holy cow, right? The persona. So, or excuse me, the anima or the animus. Sorry, I got excited about the persona. So the anima or the animus, right? That arises in our consciousness. So the shadow is our unconscious. The anima is the consciousness, right? So that is the balance of the feminine and the masculine energies. Love this one, right? Roles. Who assigned roles and why do we believe them? I love my old therapist. I would come in, I'd be like, and then she said, and then he told me, and then they told us. And my therapist would be like, who told you that? I'd be like, well, I did. And he's like, what makes that the capital T truth? Okay. So the animus is the society and the upbringings may have caused us to repress traits viewed belonging to the opposite sex or the opposite gender. So we have to integrate both the masculine and the feminine into our psyche. Otherwise, we become competitive with labeling, right? Why? So
I mean, we could do a whole show on that, but there's a lot of reasons why.
Oh.
Because, you know, what I love about these archetypes and what you're taking us through is this show is to just be aware of them. You know, hopefully Kelly will come back and we'll really drill down on these because each of them is deep. But
so
when
deep.
We have that realization that I may be a woman and I have been told more masculinity than most men, but that doesn't mean that you take it personally. You have to understand it because it fuels the persona.
It absolutely does, right? So we go into the persona, and the persona is how we represent ourselves to the world. So if you aren't aware of your shadow and you're not aware of that animus, look at your persona. Okay. So it is Latin for mask. And I did so much of this work in my self-mastery courses. Oh my gosh. My master life coaches, Barbara and Martha, they just like had me look at myself like this for holy cow. Did I get myself handed to myself? I can't use swear words on here, but I would. Okay. So we might have a work persona, a family persona, a party persona, right? And so we develop these by overdeveloping traits other people encouraged. This is referred to as people pleasing.
Yeah. I'm hoping there's a place for me to drop a picture of me, like I'm 22 in here with my table tennis coach. One look at that face and that will explain persona. But this is why you're talking about it, because it's all got to lead to the self. If you do three of these and you leave out the self, you're leaving your innate wisdom, right?
And can I just tell you really quickly, because I know we're running out of time. Our personas are not who we are, you guys, right? It's not who we are in order to develop the self. So we need to be careful not to identify too closely with that, because that inhibits our spiritual growth. I get all the time like, I don't know who I am. Yeah, I know. Right? So the self is what we're aiming for. And that is represented by the wise. So just really quickly for those in recovery, right? Please look up Carl Jung's letter to Bill Wilson, who is the founder of AA.
We should do a show I have gone through that letter. We should do a whole show on the whole letter and the response, because there is so much in there that literally that is Bill Wilson's amend 30 years later. To Carl. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. I get excited.
No, I love the interruption because we're so, see how passionate we get about this, you guys? Because it is so important. So I am going to end with two quotes. One, Carl Jung to Bill Wilson, and one from Wayne Dyer. Okay. And then what I would love to do, Dr. Pat, on our next show is we are going to do what emotional resilience is when we talk about boundaries. And that is going to be from Deepak Chopra. Okay. So in Carl Jung's letter to Bill Wilson, he says, the only right and legitimate way to such an experience is that it happens to you in reality. And it can only happen to you when you walk on a path which leads you to higher understanding. not in a little box of your own beliefs and programming. You might be led to that goal by an act of grace or through a personal and honest contact with friends, spiritual support system, sponsor, or through a higher education of the mind beyond the confines of mere rationalization, heart, intuition, soul. So Wayne Dyer, who I love, if you don't know who Wayne Dyer is, please look up his quotes. He says, your highest self only wants you to be at peace, not suffering. It does not judge, compare, or demand that you defeat anyone or be better than anyone. When your highest self is present, it always promotes peace. I always say that. The only person I am in competition with is myself, to be the best version of myself. And like Dr. Pat and I talk about, we know when we're in a spiritual malady, we know.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly.
And we don't blame anybody else.
And even if we start to blame it, we are correctly put back in order on that.
Yes.
Look, you and I are not perfect. I know it. No. I know it. I work on myself every day.
Every day.
I had to do it in the office. I had to change me. But I want to leave folks with this. And I hope we do a show on the letter. And I hope we can do it together. Because
yes.
The one thing that I learned from this, I had to do a paper on this letter. And the one thing I learned when I dug into it is what Carl Jung says and what Jung says when he ends this. And he goes and he says to Bill, you can read this yourself, but this is what you should know about this man who we think is a genius. This is his pain point. Can you imagine if this weren't true? He says, there are reasons why I could not give a full and sufficient explanation to Roland H., but I am risking it with you. Mind you, this is 1961, people.
Yep.
Because I conclude from your very decent and honest letter that you have acquired a point of view above the misleading platitudes one usually hears about alcoholism. And what he is saying in this, he goes on to say in this, he wished he could have done more. He wishes he could have done more with spirituality and spiritual experience. And he says, you see, alcohol in Latin is spiritus. And you use the same word for the highest religious experience as well as for the most depraving poison. The helpful formula, therefore, is spiritus contra spiritum.
Yes.
You see, and this is a man who could not even explain to Roland H. in 1930-something the spiritual experience, but he told the guy, you must go have a spiritual experience. I hope we do another show as to how do you go on and move from your spiritual experience to your spiritual amazing life.
Yes.
Kelly, you're amazing.
Yes.
I can't thank you enough. Please
Love
give
it.
Out your website, please.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. That was amazing. It is www.myresiliencecoach.com. And please reach out if you're struggling with any sort of addiction, spiritual malady. Mm-hmm. So if you need spiritual support or any type of support, we are here and we are willing and able to help.
Yeah. And I want to just say to people, maybe you're not addicted to drugs. Maybe you're not alcohol, but I will tell you what the largest and fastest growing addiction is right now. Try to take your cell phone away from an employee. People quit over that. An employee, or two, your children, or three, yourself.
Yeah.
We are working with all forms, aren't we, Kelly? Kelly,
we
thank you so
are.
Much for everything.
Thank
you all for tuning us in, turning us on. We're not done. Kelly's got so much more. I can't even imagine what's next. Thank you, Brett. Thank you all for being the best audience on the planet. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction. Tune in the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and the steps to take that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Experience the transformation from addiction to living your best life. For more information about Maximum Resilience and me, Kelly Bazzani, visit MyResilienceCoach.com. That's MyResilienceCoach.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.